The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealers.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Now, it's just the tip of the hat as we start our show today, as we start this hour today, to our men and women in the Middle East, scrubbing out the toilet bowl that is the Middle East. They continue on the job. I don't want to let too many shows go by without just mentioning the work they're doing over there. Just taking a wire brush to the dew-stained bowl that is the Middle East, particularly Iraq, taking a wire brush, scrubbing it out, cleaning it up. And remember, what was it, a couple of months ago? You know, morale is pretty low, and the men, they just don't know what's getting... Yeah, okay, dream on. You know, there's a handful of relatives. They've got some lightweight over there in the Marine Corps that he joined up so he could learn how to become an Army cook or something. He didn't actually know he'd be carrying a rifle. And when they had to go over there and actually start shooting... Well, then he starts crying to mommy, and then she cries off to a reporter, and then it becomes big news that the morale's low. The morale is not only not low, they probably want to start taking out a few more targets than they're doing these days. They probably want to get out there into the country and see a little bit more of the land. You know, see a little, just travel. I understand travel broadens you. I think those cats want to get a little more broad. Broad-minded, that is. White broad-minded. So, good job. Men and women of our U.S. Armed Forces, I haven't forgotten, and I know exactly why you're there, and I'm not confused, and I'm not, you know, I'm not scratching my noggin like a lot of people, and I'm not asking, why are we there? We can take it back to 9/11 if you want. Oh, come, there's no connection between that and this. And I'm not baffled, and I'm not worried, and I don't think it's a quagmire. And you guys have been, they have been kicking ass in 120 degree heat on top of it. I mean, I could play a good round of golf in 120 degree heat, but walk around wearing that armor that they're wearing with that big ass, don't tell me that ain't Cybill Shepherd on TV. Oh, thank God it's not. It was just some old lady that looked like her. Anyway, getting back to our fine men and women, and they're wearing that heavy ass gear, it's hotter than hell, and they're over there taking care of the job as they know they can. And over here in America, we're doing exactly what we always do, which is query and question and scratch our butt sitting on a bar stool, wondering if we ought to be doing this, we ought to be doing that. Just scratching our rear end on a bar stool, kind of shaking our heads and going, hey bartender, another rusty nail, let me think of this Iraq thing one more time. Meanwhile, we're busting into the home of the girl who is the alleged victim in the Kobe Bryant case. Get that! Get that! Have you heard about that? They've been, not just once, they've been breaking into this girl's house. When I say they, apparently it's a bunch of closet admirers, homoerotic admirers of Kobe, which would make most of the Laker fans. And they don't want to steal anything, they just want her to know that they've been there. And she's being intimidated. Police reports have been taken on this, so this isn't something that's coming, you know, that's just a figment of her imagination. As much as the many Kobe fans would like it to just be some crazy chick who's coming unglued, who's out of her freaking tree, and Kobe will be vindicated, man. He will be vindicated in time for the big opening game, and Cuban is just waiting with bated breath with an overcoat over his lap and no pants on for that game between the Lakers and Mavericks. Yeah, Cuban, I know you're looking forward to that one, huh, baby? Just remember, don't be running out of the court that day, man, because you're going to throw that overcoat off and go, oops, no pants. The home of the alleged victim in the Kobe Bryant sexual assault case was broken into late last week. According to the report in the Vale Dilly Dally, a person or persons entered the house but didn't take anything and were not disruptive. The sources did say that the intruders appeared to want the victim and her family to know they'd been there, as several items were moved and the family's dogs were found locked in a bathroom. The police report was made part of a sealed investigation file and is not available to the public. Acting Eagle Police Chief Gary Ward declined to answer whether the alleged victim's house was receiving additional security. Well, why would you give her additional security? Her name, her address, her height, her weight, the color of her hair, everything has been broadcast on the internet around the world. Why would you give her additional security? Hey, after all, she's equal to Kobe. She's the accuser. He is the innocent until proven guilty guy. I mean, they're equal, right? He's a multimillionaire, 18 feet tall black guy, and she's a little tiny white woman who's mentally deranged, and anybody can bust into her house anytime they want. Yeah, they're totally equal. Yeah, it sounds like an equal trade to me. He's Kobe Bryant, $85 billion to buy 16,000 guys who are members of his crew, his posse. And she's sitting at home, wrapped in a comforter and a quilt, watching Good Day LA and sucking her thumb, drinking, you know, hot tea that her mother made, some of that chamomile tea, and wondering what the hell, what happened to her life. The police report was made part of the sealed investigation. All right, well, in any, by the way, the 9/11 tape, why hasn't that been made public? That 9/11 tape where Bryant called the cops because his wife was freaking out or whatever the hell happened. What was that? His wife was sick. She needed 9/11. She was ill. Whatever. Why is that not on the air? Why is that not on the air? I hear 9/11 tapes every day of my life from some guy getting stabbed, beaten, getting raped. I hear the most intimate moment of a person's life other than their birth, their death, recorded in detail on a 9/11 tape, and the sheriff gleefully and gladly spreads it to every media in town. But when it's Kobe's old lady, man, I can't hear that. I want to hear him. I want to hear him go, hi, it's Kobe Bryant. She tried to shank me, and I had to beat her up. Well, we'll cover up for you, Kobe.
All right, thanks a lot. By the way, those tickets will be at will call.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Glad to do it.
Orange County Sheriff, over and out.
You know, we're going to, you know what we'll do if we don't get it? We'll dummy it up. We'll have the Kobe Bryant 911 tape coming up after this break. And you will hear in intimate detail Kobe saying things like,
yeah, I told my wife I cheated on her with a white woman, and right now I'm trying to get a big pen out of my ass. Can you, Roger, Mr. Bryant, right over with a plunger. Hi, it's Kobe Bryant. Listen,
Oh, yeah, Kobe, the late.
Yeah, listen, I got an emergency.
Yeah, well, by the way, why were you cherry-picking under the basket the other night against Golden State? So how come that isn't on the air? So we put in a call to the Orange County Cat, and now every clown in town is going to do the same thing because they heard us say we did it, and somebody else will get it before we do. But whatever, maybe it isn't interesting. Who knows? Why not put it on the air? Let me say this again just so there's no mistaking where I'm coming from. I'm a native-born, what we used to call Los Angelino. We had a mayor called it Los Angeles. I'm native-born. I'm from this town. Okay? And even me, sports fan Phil Hendry, loved the Lakers, lived and died with them all through my life. Even I'm not so brain dead that I can't see the forest for the trees, man. And if there's some truth to be had and seen and felt and fondled and gone over, then by God, we're going to do it. I don't give a crap if it's Kobe freaking Bryant. Who the hell is he? Other than some big 8-foot-tall freak that plays basketball. What are you trying to tell me? Well, we have to be delicate with these matters, Phil. Because why? Is the guy the mayor? Is he the president? Is he? Did he develop the polio vaccine? What is it with you people? Well, you know, the season's really important. Never mind a woman might have been tied to the grill of a Chevrolet and raped repeatedly by midgets. We have to, Mr. Bryant travels with a posse of midgets, as you know, so in case any DNA samples are taken, they'll realize it's actually from a guy that's 3 feet high. Couldn't be him. Never mind that a woman may have been tied to a bed and violently assaulted. Who knows? I don't know. Do you know? You don't. Neither do I. All I know is I want that 911 tape, and I want it now. I'm telling those cops down in Orange County, release it. I ain't asking, I'm telling. That's my right as the media. Ain't that right? Aren't they supposed to release it to any media that wants it? That's public record. That's a 911 system that my tax dollars help pay for, I think. Yeah, that's right. So I want the tape, and I want it now. I want to hear that guy saying,
my wife accidentally drank bleach after I told her I cheated on her.
Accidentally?
Yeah, I think she thought it was a martini.
My wife accidentally ingested hairspray. She thought it was a dirty martini up after I told her that I cheated on her. After all of those years that I told her I loved her and I needed her and I can't live without her, but the white woman was there, so what the hell? I went ahead and did it. And now it's public record, and now I've been accused of rape, so what's the matter, baby? Why are you depressed? What is it with you? What do you mean, what is it with me? You slept with this woman and we're married, yeah? What do you mean, yeah? What do you mean, yeah? Look, why don't you just be like all my fans? They dig me. They forgive me. Well, I'm not one of your fans. I'm your wife. Yeah, well, you ain't a lot of fun these days, are you, baby? I think I'm flying back to Vail. I think I still got that babe's number. Let me call up Comb-Over Boy. If I don't have it, he's got it. By the way, Comb-Over, did you get a nose job, man? Something's wrong with your face. I'm serious. When you took your glasses off and you were on Fox News, you got the beadiest freaking eyes I've ever seen in a guy. Honest to God. Have you ever seen a more beady-eyed looking guy in your life? No wonder Comb-Over wears those glasses, because it makes his eyes normal size. Because the magnification, it makes him look big. But then when he takes his glasses off, they go back to regular size, and there's these little teeny beady rat eyes. And on top of that, I swear to God, he got a nose job. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, as we promised, we do have the Kobe Bryant tape. Go ahead, and this is the 9/11 tape, the 911 call he made the day before he was arrested. Go ahead and roll that.
911.
Yeah, police.
Yes, sir, I'm stop.
I'm calling 911.
Roger, sir. Roger, sir. 911.
I need a police officer.
Ambulance. Right, who is this?
Yeah, this is Vanessa Bryant.
All right. Roger, roll to the scene. Roll to the scene. Now, what's up?
My husband told me that he cheated on me and then he fainted.
All right, Roger. Well, we'll get somebody over there right away. By the way, is that the same guy that plays ball?
Yeah.
Roger. Asshole down, asshole down. Roger.
Well, that's all we have. So, you see, there was a lot of mayhem, a lot of confusion. Kobe told Vanessa that he had cheated on her, and then he fainted. You know, he just, Vanessa, honey, I cheated on you. Because she had in her hand at that time. She had in her hand at that time some kind of a device. Might have been a, I don't know, vacuum hose or something. All right, our number is 1-800. By the way, we did get the word on how you get that tape. They got to review it with a counsel, and then they have to see if there's anything proprietary on it that is not legally releasable. And then on Monday, the sheriff will call us back, and then they will tell us just how long it's going to take. And there you go. But they have to give it to us. And we're going to get it, and we'll play it on the air, and it's probably nothing big. But so what? Have you heard it? You know, these 911 tapes that the sheriff does, doesn't take them very long to release the tape when the guy is getting mauled by a bear or when someone's drowned in a pool or someone's got their hand caught in a garbage disposal. Man, that thing is out that night, isn't it? But Kobe Bryant calling up to get his wife a couple of aspirin, and it's taking weeks and months to listen to that one. Well, what do you care, Phil? Well, nothing. I just think it's interesting. What, do you got some thing for Kobe Bryant? I got a thing for Kobe Bryant 911 calls, if you want to know, man. I'd like to collect them. What do you think of that? Well, you seem awfully consumed by this case. Oh, yeah, yeah, like nobody else is. Yeah, I get it. I think you're gay for him. Yeah, well, I think you are, too. Ass. By the way, in other news, and this is fantastic, a judge has rejected the Fox request on the Al Franken book. Now, you have to understand something. A lot of you don't know what this is about. But the Fox News Channel, a right-wing front organization for God knows what, they call themselves a news channel, sued a satirist, a comic by the name of Al Franken, because he wrote a book that made fun of them. So they have sued him. They've sued him because they don't like being made fun of. I have found out from sources very close to the situation that the person that pushed this suit through, the guy that really had the big heart on for Franken, and the guy that was just pushed on it and would not be mollified until they sued, was the guy with the big forehead in that show in the afternoon. The guy with that huge forehead and never makes any sense on his radio show. Have you ever heard it? The guy who has no point and he has the woman laughing in the background? Yeah, that one. Because he got his feelings hurt because Al Franken apparently was too funny. Now, the book is called Lies and the Lying Liars That Tell Them. On the cover of the book is a picture of our very dear friend Ann Coulter, one of the great liars, along with Dick Cheney, George Bush, and Forehead Boy. And then there's Al there, right? A federal judge on Friday denied Fox News Channel's request for an injunction to block humorist Al Franken's new book, whose title mocks the Fox slogan, Fair and Balanced. Even this newspaper says it mocks. It's not trying to appropriate commercially. The U.S. judge, Denny Chin, said Fox's claim was wholly without merit, factually and legally. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, for the very first time in the history, in probably the history of this country, a news-gathering organization has sued another entity to censor them illegally. I mean, that's heavy. For all of you Fox News fans out there who love to hear that goose-stepping crap that they throw out every day, what do you say to that? What do you say to your little news channel not having enough of a sense of humor or a knowledge of the law where Forehead Boy forced them to hire some lawyers so they would sue a man for expressing his opinion? Can you believe that? This guy Murdoch, he's not even an American, is he? No, he ain't. He's from where? He's from another country, isn't he? Yeah, well, get him back to Australia. Pack him up lock, stock, and kangaroo, and send, I hope he ain't shaped like a boomerang. Send him on back down under. So the Fox News Channel has sued a satirist, and now understand something else. When you sue somebody, you can put anything into the record. You can call them a scum-sucking dog, you can call them a child molester, you can call them anything you want, but you have to prove it. But it becomes a part of the court record. And in this high-minded lawsuit that Fox actually filed and got laughed out of a courtroom with, they said that they described Franken as an increasingly unfunny commentator. Now, what has that got to do with the guy using the term fair and balanced? I'll tell you what it has to do with it. It's Forehead Boy taking a shot because he's upset that somebody made fun of him. Actually, the entity that made fun of that Forehead Boy much, much better was Mad Magazine. You got to sue them, man, because they just ripped you an ass. Woo, baby. It was great. Funnier than hell. This book went on sale nationally Thursday, and by all accounts, including my source very close to Fox News, because of this lawsuit, Al Franken has never been more famous. Nice going, big-headed Bill. Franken, by the way, is going to be co-hosting on CNN all next week. Another great reason to get the hell off that Fox News kick and get back to the real world. Frank is going to be co-hosting on CNN, no kidding? Co-hosting on Crossfire all next week. It'll be fantastic. You want to invite on that guy with the forehead you could show a movie on? Get him on. Oh, man. It's a beautiful thing, I'm telling you. Anyway, the lawsuit goes forward because the lawsuit has to do with the misappropriation of a commercial, of a copyrighted phrase, meaning that they're trying to sell this to a jury that Al Franken, who wrote a book that is making fun of Fox, he's actually trying to capitalize on their slogan, Fair and Balanced, so that people will think Fox endorses his book. Only somebody who watches Fox News would believe that. Only someone who's a big fan of Forehead Boy would go anywhere near believing something like that. Looks like the days are numbered over there at Forehead Land, man. Better start doing something else with that guy. Show some movies on his forehead. Play tic-tac-toe on it. Something. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Time now for a walk down memory lane on The Phil Henry Show. We go back to August of 2002. One year ago. Lloyd Bonafide was on our program to talk about he and his wife traveling to Burning Man in a caravan of RVs with other senior citizens. If you don't know what Burning Man is, it takes place August 25th through the September 1st Labor Day weekend. It's out in the desert, and it's pretty weird. They... Oh, a gathering of people who believe in UFOs, ex-hippies, cats that, you know, pierce their thing. Lloyd went out to Burning Man, and here is his report.
That idiot just said Bacardi and Coke and a Tylenol 3.
Who am I speaking with? This is Lloyd Bonafide, please. Hello?
Lloyd, my name is Caroline.
Yes, and ma'am. Did you just call me an idiot?
Yes, I did, sir. I have been listening to you, sir, as quite a few people, so now it's my turn.
Uh-huh.
You have used and abused this radio show to get some sort of warped message out to your public, if you will.
You know, you sound like you could use a Bacardi and Coke and a Tylenol.
Sir,
thing.
Is your position with this RV organization an elected position?
I was appointed a public relations spokesman for the Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association. Did you just get up from a nap, or
will you just let the woman finish?
All right.
I don't have any idea why any organization that represents A, senior citizens, and B, senior citizens that drive would have
I know what you're getting at.
Representative of their organization.
I know what you're getting at. I threw the cat as a last resort.
I'm not talking about the cat, sir.
Caroline, did you party last night?
All right, well, we stick to the point here, please. So, Caroline, you think that the guy...
She has no problem with me throwing the cat.
Do you have any problem?
Actually, sir, I have a big problem with you throwing the cat. I have a very big problem with the fact that you keep referring to the Korean War as if it's some sort of a badge to be worn, as you're the only person that went to Korea. You know what, sir? I wish that you had stayed in Korea, because...
Stayed
Lord
in Korea?
Lord knows, we certainly don't need you here.
Are you kidding me? I fought for this country. I came back and started one of the most successful heating and plumbing businesses in the San Gabriel Valley. I had a daughter and a grandson. My wife and I retired 4 years ago. I sold the business to my son-in-law. I'm here at Burning Man. I've had 2 rum and cokes and 2 Tylenol 3s, and I feel great. And I'm sorry that I threw a cat at a man's head, but he tossed me a bone, and a man doesn't do that to a Korean War veteran. And I'll tell you something else, Caroline, that you may not like. I don't have my clothes on right now.
You know, I guess he thinks it's a big joke, huh?
One of the things you do at Burning Man.
This radio show has given you a large gift.
I have my clothes on because that's what we do at Burning Man. It's not sexual.
Well, you know, if I were anywhere near the lady, if I were anywhere near you, I would try as hard as I could to imitate that Korean woman, because you are a joke, sir. Absolute joke.
I'll tell you this one.
You have taken advantage of this radio station. You have really taken advantage of me as a new listener,
Caroline,
and you have offended people.
Wait a minute.
In general,
I lost weight.
Let me ask you a question. You said that you threw the cat. You looked around for a weapon, and that cat, Pepper, was sitting on your wife's lap.
That is correct.
Wouldn't it have been easier just to pick your wife up and throw her through the window?
She weighs much more, and I happen to love my wife very deeply.
But you're a Korean War veteran. You're in shape.
You should
be able to pick up anything.
The cat has claws. It's more mobile. When you use a cat in a defensive situation...
Sir, you are an absolute ass. And I hope that enough mental health people and enough people in law enforcement have listened to this conversation. And by the end of it, somebody will send some sort of a vehicle with a straitjacket to your location.
Well, I'm not going to throw my wife, the mother of my daughter, out a window just so she can do the splits on some guy's head.
Okay, I've heard about enough. The Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association, huh?
What?
Is that the name of your organization?
Do they have a contact number? Sir?
Yes, they do. The number is 213. What is the number? I forget what the number is. Can you put it up for me, anybody? No. I don't have it here.
You can go rot in hell because I gave you that number. Look, most guys don't complain when you throw a pussy at them, so...
Okay, that's all I wanted. That's fine. Thank you very much, Caroline.
Okay.
Did you get the joke, Carolina?
A walk down memory lane. That was 1 year ago. Lloyd Bonafide, owner of the Bonafide Heating and Plumbing in Alhambra. And he and his wife off to Burning Man. Apparently, now, he may not understand, but my understanding was somebody tossed him a bone, that is, flipped him the bird, so he tossed a cat onto the guy's head on the San Bernardino Freeway. 1-800-449-8686. I just want to just plug in a little California politics, which is, of course, national, the whole Schwarzenegger thing. I feel bad about saying that whole ape in a suit thing. That was wrong. I mean, it was wrong of me to say that. I just see the guy with the big block head that he's got walking around, and I don't have an idea. And is it important? Maybe it's not important anymore that anybody grasp the politics. That's all. I'm just in a quandary. I'm bewitched, bothered, and bewildered by blockhead Schwarzenegger. Look, why can't I take a shot on this cat? He's a movie star. He's made a lot of bread. See, the more money you make in America, the more liable and the more exposed you are to taking the big shots. That's how we are in this country. If you've made a lot of bread, then you ought to be able to stand there and take a curveball to the gonads and like it. Nobody gets into politics thinking that it's going to be just a beautiful walk in the sunshine. No one gets into politics thinking it's just going to be a marvelous thing. And yes, it's difficult to take a movie actor seriously, but it was difficult to take a wrestler seriously. And we do have a rather traditional way of viewing our politicians. We think they all have to be former lawyers. And I suppose they don't have to be. Many say the best president we had was Reagan. I disagree, but he was a movie star. I hate falling in line, that's all. I just hate getting in line. Now, let me tell you something else. I said it, and it happened today. I said it'd take a week. It happened a day later. Schwarzenegger's down in the polls. The Democrat, Bustamante's up in the polls. So what do you think of that? Bustamante went down a poll, and Schwarzenegger went up on a poll. No, it's the other way around. And speaking of apologizing, I'm sorry what I said about Jennifer Lopez. I didn't mean to knock her. What I meant to say was, who's ever in charge of her career? Why don't you do something about getting her off of those magazine covers before we all just die from the fact that all we ever see is her? Before she's so overexposed, man, she's going to look like one of those guys down on, on a good night in Pershing Square. She exposes herself more than any of those guys do. Every magazine, everywhere I turn, Jennifer Lopez. Why? Do you guys think she's that popular? Do her a favor. Who's ever in charge of her career, whoever her manager is, whoever her agent is, whoever her husband is. Oh, you mean that guy? He's her fiancé. Do her a big favor and get her off of them talk shows and all those magazine covers and the TV guide. And I'm walking to the line. Did you see the... Just because I happen to be looking at it, there's the checkout stand lady. Did you see her in the... Yeah, I saw it. Jesus. I don't want to see it anymore, if you don't mind.
Okay. You want the TV guy?
Well, she's on the cover of that, too, isn't she? All right, here's the recycler if you're looking for a car. Well, she's on the cover of that. And every flyer under my windshield, she's on the cover of that. My kid mimeographed something from school. She was on that. I'm surprised Pelton ain't got a tattoo of her. Speaking of tattoo, I'm getting my wife tattooed on my arm tomorrow. See, that's my number one there. My wife. And I'm getting the big sleeve there. Jimmy's going to do it. How do you spell Jimmy's last name, Chris, so we can give him the... H-A-Y-E-K. One of the greats. That's my number one. That's my baby. Getting that big tat there on the arm so I can look like real street garbage, so I can look like real white trash. And watch me walk out of there tomorrow, and Jimmy totally misunderstands. He puts Jennifer Lopez there. That'll be great. Watch me walk out of there... Holy Jesus. I might as well, either if I want to stay married, I'm going to have to get my arm amputated. I'll have to have my arm cut off. Or maybe just the ass part. After all this stuff I said about getting Maria tattooed on my arm, and I walk out of there and he put J-Lo on there, and just getting the butt taken off, man, it means they're going to have to amputate half my arm. Just get her off of the covers of all of these. Man, their story isn't all that interesting. It just isn't that interesting. It's just not that interesting. You know, I want to tell you people something. You must have empty, empty lives. Empty. To be following those two. I mean, there is nothing interesting about what's going on with these guys at all, man. Which is okay. That's normal. It's the guys that are, the, who's managing her career saying, hey, she went and took a dump. Well, great. She ordered an English muffin. Fine. She bought him a Rolls Royce. He did this, and he went to a stripper? Oh, no, not that. You mean a guy actually went into a strip bar? You mean a bachelor went into a strip bar with a bunch of his buddies before he's married? You mean he did that? This is how we get our values warped, because what happens all of a sudden is we think we ought to be doing what those guys are doing. We think that, you know, in other words, if you're engaged, somehow that means... It's, I don't know what it means, but in any event, do her a favor and get her off of the covers of those magazines, off of those soap opera digests, and help her, help this young lady maintain the career that she wants, extend the life of her career, and not kill it, not drive a knife through it like it's a baby in the cradle. You guys are getting ready to bayonet a baby in the cradle the way you're overexposing her. You, the two of them, Ben Affleck and J-Lo, will be like a shish kebab on a skewer, just time to cook. And you notice the purport, what was it called? Geely? I didn't even see the movie. What was it about? It was supposedly it sounded pretty good. Nobody wanted to go see it because she's a gay thing and he's straight and whatever. Now they got a movie coming out next year called Jersey Girl. It's coming out next year. What's she? Is she like J-Lo on the block? She's the Jersey Girl. And what's he? The big city guy who she teaches him how to be like a regular cat. And she plays the role that most people of color play in movies to loosen up the white guy. Loosen him up and make him see how life is much, much more than hard work and ass-kicking. It's just a chill. It's time to chill. Time to chill with your girl off the block. There, I just wrote your script, you Jersey Girl jackasses. You guys don't even have one scene down on paper yet. Well, there, I just gave you the script. Go ahead, put that out in the movie theater. So we'll go out. You get my $8 for that. Unreal, man. That's what's known on the planet Earth as overexposed. Overexposed! Now stop it before somebody kills somebody. Stop it. I ain't seen anything like it since Farrah freaking Fawcett. It's been going on for 3-4 years. My voice isn't getting, it's gonna change. Ah! All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, that dumbass Ted Nugent did it again. But you know what? I won't talk about it. I'll talk about it next hour. That dumb, dumb, long-haired, sweating Midwest redneck. Ted Nugent with the N-word on radio. Now, he was saying that it was okay to use the N-word for a white guy. If a black guy like Richard Pryor uses it, what's the difference? If you'd sit down long enough to hear the answer, Ted, I'd give it to you, but I think that's a rhetorical question. You're so stupid, you think you already know what the answer is. You think that it's okay for a white guy to use the N-word the same way a black guy does. Well, it ain't. What, do I got to give this lecture again? I got to do this every 6 months. I got to educate all the white folks out there on how it ain't the same thing when whitey uses the N-word and when a black guy does. When a black guy uses the N-word, that is part of the language that they learned during the period of oppression that they suffered. It is the way of diffusing. It's the way of defueling. It's the way of insulting. But it's that way. It's their way. It's the black folks' way. That's what they do. When a white guy uses the N-word, it's because he invented it for hateful reasons. I don't take phone calls during these segments, by the way, because there's nothing anybody's got to tell me about this. I do not. Anytime I talk race or religion, those two things, I don't take phone calls. Yesterday I broke down and I took a couple, and I've regretted it for every hour since. There's nothing that anybody needs to educate me on. There's no opinion I need to hear. I've heard it all, and I've listened to every dumb white man that I care to hear. You white boys out there, you don't use the word N, okay? You don't use it. That's just all there is to it. Black folks, they can do it. They can be as stupid as they want or as smart as they do whatever the hell they want to do. You dumbass whiteys, you don't use N. That's all there is to it. And Nugent, listen, why don't you just stick to whatever it is you stick to? Like a couple of pages in Playboy. You know about hunting and you know about rock and roll. Stick to that. Although I guess you have a right to be a commentator. I mean, you played guitar on a stage. You've had your thumb up your rear, and I guess you're just as good to be on a radio show as anybody else. Nugent hosts his own morning show in Detroit. He was speaking with a couple of idiotic DJs in Denver when he attempted to make the point that the words G, oh, it's gook, huh, and N were just that, words, and therefore shouldn't offend, citing Richard Pryor's comedic use of the N-word as an example. Well, I guess white trash doesn't offend you either, does it, Ted? Or more to the point, does the phrase methamphetamine white trash, how about if I called you or your people, not you, because I understand that this is all about just kind of, you know, it's a word, just a word, that's all. What if I said that people like you slept with your sister and your mama? How about this? What if I just simply said, Ted, that guys like you, you know, inbred hillbillies, it's just a word. It shouldn't offend. Inbred, butter hog hillbilly, with the eyes too close together, and the one eyeball in the forehead. Sleeping with the fishes. And when I say sleeping with the fishes, I don't mean dead. I mean sleeping with the fishes. You know what I mean? Hillbilly? No, you don't do it, folks. In all seriousness, you don't do it. You just don't. If you want to keep your life, you don't do it. Go ahead, use the N-word. See what happens. Use it down. Go down here to Avalon, right down here in South Central. Go ahead, use it. You should be allowed to, shouldn't you? Sure. Why, it's America. And by the way, Ted, you know, why don't you file your teeth down? You look like you got a mouthful of sugar cubes. Go on down there to 102nd and Avalon and start laying that N-word out there and explain to anybody walking by that it's just a word and it shouldn't offend them. Go ahead. And as you lay there bleeding and dying and waiting for the ambulance that won't get there on time, by the way, it never does, think about what we talked about. And if you don't mind, could I have your guitar collection? 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Bobby Dooley is working for the Arnold Schwarzenegger campaign. We'll hear all about it on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We got reports of the Schwarzenegger campaign now from Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley, the two of them involved with the Western States Parent Teacher Organization and the Homeowners Association out there. But you are involved, as of today, in the Schwarzenegger campaign?
Yes, Phil, as of this morning, actually, we got a call from Macy Alvarado, who's the regional campaign coordinator.
Now, were you at a fundraiser last night?
Yes, for Arnold Schwarzenegger in Santa Monica. It was exciting. We met Rob Lowe. We met Warren Buffett. Former Governor Wilson was there. And it was a dream come true, I think, for all of us to be involved. I think any American would be excited to be involved with Mr. Schwarzenegger and everything that he's done, the motion pictures, and now running for president. We think it's good for our country, and...
You said probably, you mean governor.
I meant to say governor. I'm sorry.
Well, there really isn't a difference.
Yeah, my husband says he doesn't think there's a difference. In a lot of ways, there isn't. It's a small step between governor of California and president.
Well, what is involved in what you're going to be doing, what, for the Schwarzenegger campaign?
Well, Phil, I'm still pinching myself, to be honest with you, to be asked to be a part The first step is to make the message clear. Western Estates in the West Valley is behind Arnold Schwarzenegger 100%. That is my job, to deliver the message to Mr. Schwarzenegger that our area, Western Estates, is behind him 100%. And to be asked to be a block captain for the Schwarzenegger campaign is very prestigious. My husband and I are very, very thankful for this opportunity.
So how do you begin to get the vote out for Arnold Schwarzenegger there in your community?
Well, we're going to go door to door and tell people that, in no uncertain terms, that we expect them to get out and vote for Governor Schwarzenegger. We've been told that if we deliver the vote for the West Valley area, that we will receive invitations to the inaugural gala for governor. So we're very, very excited.
Well, if we deliver the vote.
Yeah, my husband says if we deliver the vote, we will get invited. So we're going, in no uncertain terms, we're telling people.
Now, you are the president of a homeowners association in a gated community. So this is a contained area.
Mm-hmm.
Of how many homes?
We have 75 homes, Phil.
All right. And so you go door-to-door in this contained area of 75 homes, and you say you're going to expect people to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger. I was just looking at the name Bill Hemington.
Well, Bill is another situation entirely.
No, but getting back to Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes, we're going to tell people. I'm the Homeowners Association president. My husband and I have been responsible for re-landscaping our front gate, responsible for new street lighting, responsible for new terracing in our pool area, responsible for our new community center. We've literally turned our community around from an area where only really large families that made in the five figures annually lived, and we had to clean that up, and we did. And now our community is the envy of the West Valley. And so because we did all of that, Steve and I, and we're glad to do it, we're going to tell people, as of tonight, when we go door to door, that they're going to get out, they're going to vote for Governor Schwarzenegger. It's the least they can do. We're not asking a lot, but we're talking about an invitation to the gala. And
knock me over the feather.
Just knock me over with a feather if they don't get out.
Now, Bill, and now, by the way, we're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley of the Western States Homeowners Association. They're going to get the vote out for Schwarzenegger. You're saying to people you're going to vote for, you're not asking.
Well, we're telling them that we're expecting them to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
All right, now, Bill Hemington is a resident who spoke out at a homeowners meeting saying that you didn't have the right to tell people how to vote. Isn't that correct?
You know what, Phil? Bill Hemington is a widower Democrat who is antisocial.
Didn't he speak out?
Well, let me just tell you, Steve and I were canvassing for another candidate a few years back. We went to his door. He used profanity. He used vulgarity. I can tell you some of the things he said. He called my husband a faggot. He said GD this and GD that, MF this. He's not a very nice man. He told us to get the GD off of his property. I informed him, as the Homeowners Association president, it was also my property. See, people don't get that. I'm the Homeowners Association president. There is the unstated recognition that I can go on their property.
He's bitter.
Yes, he's very bitter.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley are with us. You're telling people they got to get out and vote for Schwarzenegger because of all of the things you've done. What's the bigger picture for people in America? What would you say to the people in America, say, if he was running for president? You haven't done anything for the people in America, have you?
What I would say is simply this. The quicker Mr. Schwarzenegger is elected president, the sooner Steve and I are able to enjoy, I think, the fruits of our labors. And so I believe that if we can get the vote out,
Yeah, but you're telling me you're going to get to go to an inaugural for the governor.
Right.
Well, what's in it for me? I mean, why...
I don't understand your question.
Why should I vote for anybody that you tell me to vote for when you're the one that's going to get to go to the inaugural in Sacramento, not me?
Phil, can we tell you that everyone who lives here really owes us and that we are...
No, you told me that you put in the terracing and the pool and everything else. But you're saying that...
What this means is that Steve and I move from mid-strata politics. We become players.
Well, that's nice, but for the rest of us, what do we get if we vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger?
So I don't know the answer to that question. All I know is you need to get out and vote for him.
You don't know the answer to that question.
I don't know. You know, you can, you, everybody has a different opinion, but people need to get out and vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, if you love your children, vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger. If you love, you know, your country. I can tell you, Phil, this was a place where only people with a five-figure income live. I ran them off. Now, where is my thanks?
Well, I don't know that it's such a big thing to run off, as you say, people who make only five figures a year. You also indicated that they were families with children.
That is true, yeah.
Well, why are you proud of running off a family with a five-figure income?
I'm not proud of it, but I am saying that they... You know something? It's just not very desirable to have those people here. And so, Phil, but I can't... Just vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I can tell you that... If you don't, you know, I fear for everyone's children.
All right, Ms. Dooley, is that a threat?
I'm just saying, if you don't vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger, I fear for children, for the children of this country.
Is that a threat?
No, it is not a threat.
All right. Do you know that Mr. Bill Hemington reported to the Los Angeles County Sheriff? This is the man who said you didn't have a right to tell him to vote. He reported that he found human feces in his mailbox. Do you know anything about that?
You know, that's a real insult. I don't have any comment.
No, but do you know who left that in his mailbox?
I don't have any comment.
You don't have any comment?
You know, I'll tell you this. If someone did put that kind of thing in his mailbox, it really doesn't surprise me. We have gone door-to-door for Arnold, and he's the only one who told us to get off his property and called my husband an effing faggot. All right? So,
do you know who left human feces in his mailbox?
I don't have any comment.
And you say that we should fear for our children if we don't vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger. Ms. Dooley?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you tell me what you mean by that?
Use your imagination.
I think you can use your imagination.
Well, this has gone from a discussion about voting, which should be an option that people have, and a freedom.
And people do have that freedom.
But when you're going door to door and telling them, I expect you to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then there is human feces left in a man's mailbox, and there is a pet missing, as I understand there was also one of his pets went missing?
Again, I have no comment.
Are you telling me, Ms. Dooley, that you have anything to do with threats of violence or intimidation against people?
I'm saying, Phil, that we expect people to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Are you intimidating people with violence, or are you intimidating people in any other way in order to get them to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger so you and your husband can attend the governor's ball?
You know what it's going to do for Western states if Steve and I go to the governor's ball? People can say that they are part of a community.
You're not answering my question. You're not answering my question. Mr. Hemington's cat turned up dead, human feces was stuffed into his mailbox, and you say you don't know anything about it. And he's the only guy in the neighborhood who told you to get off his property, and you didn't have any right to tell him how to vote.
And he was wrong.
He was wrong.
Well, all right. 1-800-449-8686. See, I can't get any answers out of her on this. Bobby and Steve Dooley, they are canvassing door-to-door for the Schwarzenegger campaign. They are telling people in no uncertain terms they expect them to vote for Schwarzenegger if they can turn out the entire community in a vote for Schwarzenegger. Her husband and she get to go to the inaugural ball. Now, the police report that one man, Bill Hemington, who lives in the Magnolia Phase out there, told them to get off of his property, that they didn't have any right. And the next day he found human feces in his mailbox. His cat turned up dead. And there was sand in his gas tank. 1-800-449-8686. Do you think it's a threat when someone says, I fear for your children if you don't vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Okay, Bobby and Steve Dooley with us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Congratulations that you've been named to the door-to-door canvassing campaign for Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's great. But you haven't told me why you're, quote, expecting people to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger, other than the fact that you and your husband may get invited to an inaugural. So you haven't said to me why you would be, why, what do I get out of it?
Why, Phil, wouldn't people vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger? He's a wonderful actor. He is a man, I think he's a very attractive man. I think that he has some very great and strong, I think if you see him in his films, I think he is everything that we want as a governor and as a president, and I know I misspoke. Why wouldn't you want Arnold Schwarzenegger to run the country? I think this is important for every American, because if he becomes governor, you know he'll become president. You know that. That's just a matter of time. And yes, if he becomes president, it means that we are invited to a White House inaugural, and that we move up, 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 up. And so it is about my family and what we've suffered. And if someone put human feces into the mailbox of a man who is voting for a Democrat, you know something? You reap what you sow.
All right. I asked you if you had anything to do with that. You said no comment. 1-800-449-8686. So Arnold Schwarzenegger, we should vote for him because his movies are great and he's a great actor.
I think, Phil, that's the reason why we voted for Reagan.
Let's go to Dennis. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, how you doing today, Mr. Doolin?
Yes, hi.
I got basic 2 points to make to you. First of all, though you are the president of the Homeowners Association, ma'am, you do not have the right to anybody how to vote.
I didn't say that I did. I'm expecting them, though, to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But you see, you can't really go around your neighborhood telling anybody you expect.
Yes, I can. I can knock on anybody's door I want to.
Yeah, and they can shut the door right in your face if they want to.
Well, they don't.
Regardless of what your,
well, they don't.
Status is in the community.
Well, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't shut their door in my face.
No, I'm saying they can if they want to.
Well, but they don't. And you know why they don't? Because, first of all, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who else? You know, I've done a lot for people. I don't know who you are.
But you see, that's one of the things that's great about this country. I mean, you may go ahead and do that if you choose. That's your prerogative, but it's also everybody else's prerogative to vote how they choose. And they don't have to tell you who they voted for or anything.
Did you see The Terminator? Did you see the films that he's been in?
What has that got to do with anything? Who cares about the movies he's been in?
Ma'am, because he's a
here's something
actor,
I don't think...
Like you said,
have you ever seen Arnold Schwarzenegger? Have you met him?
Ma'am, I have
you
seen
been around him?
Schwarzenegger's movies.
You were
a great actor. I will give you that.
All right,
but it does not. But it does not tell me how good he's going to run the state, much less the country.
Oh,
which
oh.
brings me to my second point.
Oh, so I'm stupid? Is that it?
Pardon me?
Am I stupid?
No, you're not.
Well,
I didn't say you were stupid, but how can you judge how somebody's going to run a political office?
You know, this is ridiculous. You haven't come on this program with one reason why anybody ought to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger, not one reason why he'd make a good governor, not one reason other than the fact that you and your husband will get invited to an inaugural ball in Sacramento. Then you say make a good president. You're exactly what's wrong with his campaign. He's got nothing but idiots like you running it. And the sooner that he weeds people like you out of it, the sooner people are going to know what he stands for. Right now, nobody knows anything about Arnold Schwarzenegger and what he stands for because of people like you.
You know something, Mr. Hendry? You can yell at me all you want, but I will expect people to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger. And if they don't vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger, well, guess what? Something might happen to their children. Well, doesn't that scare you?
No, it doesn't scare me. No, it doesn't.
Okay, ma'am.
No, I mean it. Something will happen to your children.
It doesn't scare me. Thanks very much, Dennis.
I need to go to that inaugural. I've already put in the Western States News that we're going.
Oh, yeah, fine. Something's going to happen to my children. What? They're going to, you know, they won't be able to rent another movie from Blockbuster? Is that it? Hey, what does he represent? What's he all about? I don't know. I just put some human feces into the mailbox of a guy who isn't going to vote for him. That's all I know. What's he stand for? Less taxes? No, he doesn't, because he just said that he's going to raise the taxes. Get her out of here, will you? I don't want to talk. No, I don't want to talk to her. I don't. Ms. Dooley, I don't want to talk to you.
But if people don't vote, then we don't get to go to the...
I know the inaugural. I don't care whether you go to the inaugural or not. You're going door to door and you're telling people you better vote for the guy? Why? Does anybody have any idea why they want to vote for the guy? No, they don't have, they got no... As a matter of fact, the average voter in California doesn't even know what it would take to get this country out of the... Get this state, I should say, out of the straits that it's in. That woman is a classic example of what's wrong with every freaking voter in this state. Well, I guess I'll vote for him because he seems better than Davis. Seems being the pivotal word there. Seems okay to me. He talks tough. He talks big. He's surrounded by some pretty smart guys. Warren Buffett, Rob Lowe. He's a brain surgeon. Did you read that one? Rob Lowe's involved in the campaign. I just heard Bobby say that she's involved with Rob Lowe, that she met Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe? You know, I met Rob Lowe in Detroit. And I did. I met him during the Detroit Piston-LA Lakers series at a hotel in Detroit. And I sat and I talked to him. And you talk about stupid. I talked to this guy, and all he could talk about was, well, broads, which is fine. I guess he was like 23 at the time. That's all he had his mind on. It was also during that period of time when they caught him with that videotape. And then I actually bought him like a few beers, but just a lunkhead. A real lunkhead. All right, well, good luck. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. And as well, our souvenir shop, which has in it some great stuff, including our best of CD. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And I'll tell you, it's getting in close to about $1 million we've raised for my friend's place. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. Show.
Comedy goals.
I just wanted to make a comment to the gentleman.
Yes, ma'am.
Who is not really being a gentleman at the moment.
I'm not a gentleman. That lady,
you know,
she's calling me all kinds of names.
I think I'm talking, sir, so if you would kindly shut the heck up, I would appreciate it.
Insulting me.
Anyway, the reason I called was to let this gentleman know, and I use that loosely, that for one thing, if I walked into a store and I was buying rice as a China woman, and I heard somebody talking about Jesus Christ, I would not turn around and start buying rice somewhere else. For if you want to think that way, and they want to come over here and live in our culture, they don't really have a whole lot to say. Go somewhere.
Man, this happens to be America, where everybody's equal, and people can be any religion they want, but they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to Bible thump.
You are welcome to leave.
I didn't say you can't be a Christian.
You don't have to stay at my store. Please.
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't say she could be a Christian.
There are other people that will come in to my store that will take her place.
I got a lot of these Chinamen that can do a lot of business, okay? And I'm not going to lose their business because you Christians want to come in and Bible thump. Now, what am I supposed to do when I got an Islam and this guy comes in? I got good Islam food, and they don't eat no pork. That's number
one. Well, let me tell you this.
I don't carry pork. I don't carry pork. No Jews, no Arabs. They don't eat it.
You think of your money right now. All you are is about money. You were never a preacher. You were never a preacher. You were a snake. Unfortunately, it's people like you that ruins Christianity.
Calling people names. I went into the Christian faith.
What do you mean calling people names? And you're calling somebody a fat cow who has to whoop your butt because you're too wimpy?
How come she's telling her? I'll talk about Jesus.
Let me tell you something. You need to start being able to back up. Apparently, you're some little wimp, and I probably could take you.
Maybe. And you know, I never said that you couldn't.
And you know,
I bet you are
you sound like, you know what, you're the kind of man that goes on the Richard Springer show and says, my wife's beat
the
me.
The Richard Springer show?
Yes.
I bet you're one of those big dykes that beats up on little guys. I bet you that's what you are, right? You're a big dyke. And,
okay,
come on,
ladies
baby.
And gentlemen.
You know, you sound like you could
come on.
You know, you sound like you could shed a few pounds off your neck.
People like you that really tick me off.
Tick you off?
You know what? You can sit there and you can worry about your mighty dollar, but let me tell you something.
Get a load of the Jesus you're telling me. Would you calm down, Grandma?
You can worry about your soul.
I'm worrying about my soul like you care about my soul.
You know what? People like me are going to heaven.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, thanks a lot.
You know what? People like me are going to heaven.
In the name of the Father,
your
soul. You're going to be going to heaven, and you're going to leave
something.
A whole lot of bored people
you
behind you.
You are so sad.
Listening to your freaking Jesus talk.
You are so sad.
So what are you doing when a Chinaman walks up to you and says, I don't want to hear
little
that.
Man.
All right,
what are you?
Ladies and gentlemen.
The big mouth sounds just like the joke I fired.
What are you, about 5'2"?
Hey, listen, cow.
Okay, I don't want any more cow talk.
Is this John Show?
Don't.
Hey, lady, every time you open up your mouth talking Jesus and another Chinaman leaves my business, who pays for that?
But you know what, sir? It's right now you're
who
making the money, but in the end, you're not.
When a Chinaman leaves my store...
Am I going to get a word in edgewise?
Okay.
Can I get a word in edgewise here?
You've been doing nothing but talking.
Can I get a word in
edgewise
here?
For the last 20 minutes. So I'm sorry that...
Okay, look, I gotta go.
So you're hanging up on me, you dirt... What are you, one of those Chinamen?
What? I'm not a Chinaman. And it's Chinese or Asian American is the more appropriate term, not Chinaman.
Oh, well, excuse me, Phil Donahue. I'm sorry.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Bob Green, man. Can't be talking that Jesus talk in his store. Otherwise, all them Chinamen don't want to shop there. All those Buddha-loving Chinamen. Robert Green here on the Phil Hendry Show. By the way, the voice of Robert Green was me. The callers, well, they're real people. Same with that other one that we just did. What's his name? Bobby Dooley. It's a her. It's an it. It's whatever it is. Vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who knows why? Okay, 1-800-449-8686. I don't mean to get so heavy. Occasionally, I'll just throw in a serious question like, why are you voting for Schwarzenegger? And the person with the best answer wins a year's supply of bottled water from Brew 102, downtown L.A. Anybody with any kind of an answer that makes sense? Anyone that that can give me an answer that sounds like English? I'm not really taking calls on this, by the way, Chris. I'm just saying it. Anybody who could call up and tell me why they'd vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I mean, I want a sensible answer. Don't tell me what's wrong with Davis. Don't tell me what's wrong with the Democrats. Don't tell me what's wrong with the liberals. Tell me what that guy does, what he's going to do. He doesn't know any more than you do. My daughter knows a little bit more about what Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, as a matter of fact, my daughter'd make a better governor than Arnold Schwarzenegger. My cat knows more about what he's got planned than he does. My cat, Ruffy. Little tabby cat. And as we said, Rob Lowe, who played a top White House aide on television, is well, there you go. He played a top White House aide on TV. That qualifies him. Do you realize where the hell are we now, man? Art becomes life. Life becomes art. Lowe became the third high-profile addition to the Schwarzenegger campaign in as many days, following announcements that billionaire investor Warren Buffett, 72. Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. If Clinton is having sex in the Oval Office, didn't Lowe get videotaped like a 14-year-old girl having sex with an underage minor? Hey, Schwarzenegger, don't you think that might hurt your campaign just a little itsy-bitsy tiny bit? Don't you think people would have questions as to your ability to make decisions, as to your ability? Not that I care. I could care less. Rob Lowe, a little stupid, but, he looked good, man, standing there with those with the big picture, with the campaign picture. He'll look fine. But people seem to think it matters. Of course, it depends on who the candidate is. With Clinton, it mattered a lot. With a guy like Bush and all the drinking he did, it didn't matter at all. Now, with Schwarzenegger, maybe you'll overlook the fact that Rob Lowe was in bed with a 14-year-old. I don't know. Democrats will make a big thing out of it, though. And knowing that the Democrats would make a big thing out of it, you guys, why do you think Schwarzenegger went ahead and hired this guy for his campaign? Don't you think that it's going to come up and bite him in his big muscle-bound ass one of these days? What does that tell you about his ability to hire people, to make decisions? Just throwing a few questions out there. And, you know, again, you guys that don't live in California, this is just a, this just like a fishbowl. Just consider this. You're on the outside looking at all the dopey looking fish swimming around, and you're watching this because if this guy gets in as governor of California, it's going to be like four more years than he's running for president. You mark my words. Nobody that's in the film business has got an ego that can be contained that long. Governor of California, that's small potatoes. How about President of the Earth? In fact, he'll probably make up a title for himself. King of the Earth. King of the Galaxy. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger, King of the Galaxy. That, you think I'm kidding? See, he thinks he's running a very serious campaign, and guys like me just don't get it. No, it's the other way around, Schwartz. You don't get it, man. You don't get it. Yeah, I know, you think it's a Hollywood movie, so in other words, it's just all, you know, it's gloss and glimmer and glamour, but maybe people are getting wise to it. I guess I shouldn't bet on that, though. 1-800-449-8686. So let's get Rob Lowe. He's in on board. Warren Buffett. Bozo the Chimp is coming on board as the press relations guy. And let's see, the Elephant Man will be conducting door-to-door campaigns just to kind of put a good face on the campaign. And then maybe they'll get Sonny Bono. Oh, he's croaked, so we'll have to get somebody else. How about Ralph Waite? How about John Boy? How about Grandpa from the Waltons? Maybe he can get Dustin Hoffman to reprise his role as that pompadoured-looking queer in what was that movie, Wag the Dog? That Robert Evans guy? Fact, forget it. Just get Robert Evans. Get Jack Nicholson. Get them all. Every Republican actor, that includes Bruce Willis and about five or six animal actors. Benji, Lassie, Flipper, I bet you they all vote Republican. Mr. Ed. Earlier, a source close to Lowe told Reuters the former co-star of NBC's White House drama, well, there you go, he starred on The West Wing. Well, he'd been asked by Schwarzenegger and the Democrat closest to the Terminator, his wife Maria Shriver, to join the campaign in some high-ranking capacity. By the way, Maria Shriver's a Democrat. I think you should leave him. Leave him, divorce him. You're a Democrat, he's a Republican. How dare you help him get elected? Divorce him. According to the LA Times, Lowe is one of several Hollywood Democrats to express interest in working for Schwarzenegger's campaign because the acting jobs just ain't exactly turning up all that much these days. Lowe, who's been out of work ever since... No, Lowe, who portrayed an idealistic White House jackass named Sam Seaborn on West Wing, left the show last season in a contract dispute, meaning the producers didn't think he was worth anywhere near the money they were paying him. In real life, Lowe has long been active in Democratic Party circles, whatever that means. What, going to parties? Every time they say that a guy is active, he goes to a lot of parties and he dumps a bunch of dough in the collection plate. Michael Dukakis, blah, 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 blah. Attending the Democratic National Convention that year in Atlanta, Lowe videotaped himself cavorting with two young women, one of whom turned out to be underage in a hotel room. Well, with a guy like that, with a guy who can make a quick split-second decision like that, like, well, I guess I'll just assume she's over 18, you need a cat like that in your campaign, Schwarzenegger. Make sure he's very, very visible. The sexual encounter made headlines months later when the explicit video surfaced publicly and Lowe ended up performing community service to avoid criminal charges. Now, I have a question, and it may be a stupid question, and it may be something that I shouldn't ask, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it. Rob Lowe is now attached to the Arnold Schwarzenegger campaign, even though he had sex with an underage minor, correct? Am I right? Am I right? Roman Polanski is living in France, and he ain't been in America for 40 years, and he's considered a pervert and a child molester, and he did exactly the same thing.
Well, it's because he ran to avoid the criminal charges, Mr. Henry.
Well,
so in other words, he would have gotten community service, too? Is that what you're telling me? Huh? Are you telling me that Polanski would have got community service, too? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Lowe, this is gorgeous. Lowe is going to be a part of the Schwarzenegger campaign, and Polanski's still sitting over there sucking absinthe and wondering what happened to his life wearing the little beret sitting there on the roundabout. And maybe occasionally Nicholson goes over there and they go out and have a couple of belts. Otherwise, he's got to go back to that crap can flat of his in Paris and just be what he's always been, a European. 1-800-449-8686. Polanski flees for life. Lowe picks up garbage in an orange vest on the 101. What's up with that? It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Have you heard of this Earth Liberation Front? Oh, boy. God, Americans just don't. We just never give it a rest, do we? Every copycat operation out there, man, we're going to take charge of. Every time we see some really cool, groovy terrorist organization, well, we're going to do the same thing. In fact, we have actions and operations just like they do. They got this thing, the Earth Liberation Asshole Organization. And they go around blowing up, like, auto dealerships that sell SUVs because it's, like, not cool for the earth. And some other stupid, stupid stuff. I got news for you guys. First of all, you ain't kidding anybody. You're probably all, like, lightweights under the age of 25, just out of high school. You know, you got your practice vandalizing your classroom, you know, throwing paint on a statue out in front of the school or something. Plus, you dummies, you don't like pollution? Setting fire to those SUVs, man, you let all kinds of freaking fuels and burning nitrous oxide and carbon monoxide and crap up into the air when you did that. What is it with you cats, man? I'll tell you what it is. You're bored. You're bored and you want to be Al-Qaeda, but you don't really. And on top of it, now they've traced this organization, which, by the way, you guys are going to get caught because they're such amateurs. It's really such lightweight copycat stuff. You're going to get caught. Before, you're going to get caught, man, before I have to take another trip to the bathroom tomorrow morning. Maybe not that soon, but, you know, it's just, it's so American. It's like, apparently they've traced these guys to a animal rights organization, which happens to be in Canada, actually. But, well, you know, Canadian, American, what's the difference when it comes to this stuff? It's all the same. It's all the same guy, right? Now, animal rights people are very interesting. First of all, they hate people. They hate people. Animal rights people are middle-aged women who have had on-again, off-again relationships with men. They pretty much despise the rest of the human race. And, you know, they put a bandana on their dog and sunglasses. And maybe they put them on the back of their motorcycle. And they have a chipmunk that rides. You ever seen those news, you know? And tonight, one more shot here from Ellington Park where a man put a baseball cap on a squirrel. And you see a squirrel riding around on the back of a motorcycle. Those kind of people. Really, really odd. Really scary. Those are animal rights people. They can't stand the human race. They'd much rather see a human being suffer horribly than an animal. They'd much rather see even an infant human. Animal rights people like PETA. PETA would rather see a baby burn alive. Burn alive in a flaming house and get the cat or the dog out. That's PETA. So in other words, what are we talking about? We're talking about people who've had very, very traumatic experiences with humans. Love affairs gone bad, a father that beat them, a mother that raped them, whatever. And they embrace the animal kingdom because they're simple-minded, they don't talk back. And when you're a human and you have an animal, you can imagine that the animal is understanding what you're saying. You can also imagine, you sort of anthropomorphize the animal so that they really dig wearing sweaters and hats. You know, see, there's Freddy, huh? Isn't he not? Yeah, he's wearing a three-piece suit. That's, yeah, he enjoys it so deeply. Bill, I wrote down a number here for you. It's a mental health hotline, and I'd just like you to give him a call. Just give him a call. No, everything's good. Come on, Freddy, it's my good guy, Freddy. Here's a dog biscuit. See, I got the shoes over there. I got the shoes at Buster Brown,
And the Brooks Brothers suit is just, it's a little loose in the back. I want to take it out. Not too much collar, though. You see, we'll take that in. What is it with you and a dog in a three-piece suit? I want you to call the mental health hotline. Call it now. Or the lady with the cat that has, I don't know, a vest, slacks. Or how about this one, when you see him in the park, birthday hats for poodles. I just as soon go up and beat the animal to death with a baseball bat and put it out of its misery. Either that or beat the human to death with a baseball bat and put him out of his misery. Have you seen Stanley? You mean the squirrel with a fedora on? Yeah, he loves the hat. Never wants to leave without it. Okay. And you see that? That's a genuine leather from Texas. Bill, sit down for a minute, will you?
Uh-huh.
Bill, you know I love you. I've been your brother for a long time. When you started putting bonnets on our cat, I thought it was just normal. And when you began slipping slacks onto that parrot, I thought everything was cool. But, you know, you're living alone now, man. You haven't seen me or Mom or Dad.
Uh-huh.
I want you to see Dr. Velgren, V-E-L-G-R-E-N, and he has a nice, he's got a variety of pills.
Okay,
now, what do you think of this parrot and the Barbie high heels? Yeah, that's really good. Well, I don't know about you, but I find it very provocative. Could you leave now? Okay, man, I'll be back with the sheriff. 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I understand, but breast cancer, you understand breast cancer is serious, right?
Oh, I absolutely understand that breast cancer is serious, Mr. Hendry. But what I'm saying is, my wife, and we have been married for 6 years, but she goes for these mammograms once a year. They are costly. They are time-consuming. She tells me she has one to go to tomorrow. And I have made this appointment for her and I to go with another couple to Catalina. So, and this is very important to my career. And for her to say she has a mammogram that she has to go to, in my way of thinking, this is an excuse to go to a doctor's office where, for some reason, women can bond, where three or four nurses... Are you familiar with the mammogram process at all?
I know my wife goes and gets a mammogram every year. Every responsible woman does to detect for breast cancer. But what you're telling me is, it sounds like you're telling me, you think that it's not as necessary?
I don't think that breast cancer is so necessary that when your husband asks you to go to cancel the appointment and go out to Catalina with another couple when a coaching position is opening up at a major university... I don't think it's a difficult time. Breast cancer is serious, but they've got women by the nose. They've got women unnecessarily scared.
You're telling me the medical establishment is scaring women unnecessarily. I'll tell you that I've been on cancer walks with my wife. She's involved in breast cancer.
Well, do you know what happens in a doctor's office? That was my original question.
When what?
When a woman goes in for a mammogram.
I understand that there's some kind of a examination.
What happens, Phil? Is you walk into a diet, it's a very dehumanizing experience. You can ask any woman who's been through it. You walk into a doctor's office, you're told to strip, you stand there in front of him and three or four nurses that are feeling you all over the, up and down and all over the place. For some reason, women seem to think that this is preferable than spending time with their husband. And I can tell you that I have some personal reasons that make me feel insecure about it.
All right, well, you're putting a sexual connotation on the exam. And I'll tell you, that's just flat crazy.
Well, it might be crazy. But I have had, for the last 3 months, because I've been taking beta blockers, a potency problem. My wife and I have not slept together for 3 months. Now she goes off to a doctor's office and gets three or four nurses to feel her all over the place. And she strips for this guy while he sits on a stool in the corner and watches this. He watches this. And
this is a mammogram that you're. It's a breast. This is a manual breast examination, and then there is a machine.
Well, the doctor. My understanding is, from the people that I know and the women that I know who've had mammograms, you walk into the office, the doctor sits on a stool in the corner and watches while you strip, and then three or four nurses are handling you. I recognize...
Well, I mean, to me, it sounds like you've got some insecurity about your own sexual issues, right?
I'm simply saying that my wife and I have not had normal relations in 3 months, and there she is. She'd rather go to a doctor's office and get felt up by nurses.
Well, it's not a feel-up, sir. It's a breast examination, and it's a necessary thing for women to do once a year. And I'll tell you something else. When they make the appointment, when did your wife make the appointment?
Well, look, Jim and Carol Redding are friends of mine. They have invited us on their sailboat to go out to Catalina tomorrow. This guy is president of Escolene University in Monterey, one of the big Division II schools. I have an opportunity for my very first coaching position. What I'd like my wife to do is go with me.
And she said no because she has her mammogram.
Yeah. Now, you tell me, what is that about?
Well, you said to me that you asked her today to go with her sailing. Now, she to go with you sailing. Now, she made her mammogram appointment 3-4 months out, I imagine.
I don't care when she made it. Women today are being led around by the nose by these doctors and these nurses that want to get them in a doctor's office, have them do a strip, okay? Jesus.
If you're having a potency problem and you're afraid your wife prefers the company of nurses in a mammogram to you, then you should address this directly, don't you? But let me give our...
I'm going to make a statement right now, though. The mammogram and the breast cancer examination is not as necessary as some doctors want you to believe. And I'll tell you why they want you to think it's necessary, so you can go into their office, strip down for them on demand. They tell you to strip, and you do. You stand there so they can get a good look at you. And then they get these nurses, some of whom, let me tell you what, they're not exactly petite. And they come in, and they put their hands all over them, while the doctor sits in the corner, and you can't see his face because his face is in shadow. And they're squeezing and everything. Now, I haven't made love to my wife in a few months. But the thought of me being on that sailboat tomorrow, while she's going in for an unnecessary breast exam, and there's nothing wrong with my wife's breasts. She doesn't have cancer. And you know how I know, friend? Because I'll tell you what. I've done a few of my own exams.
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8666. This guy is claims the breast exam. His name is Vernon Dozier. He claims the breast exam, the mammogram, is completely not as necessary as some women would lead their husbands to believe. Basically, women are just going into a doctor's office to get felt up. And in his wife's case, he says, prefers it to him because he hasn't been able to perform sexually for the last 4 months. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's talk a little bit, Mr. Dozier. You're an educator, about breast exams and the mammogram. We know that breast cancer kills a great many women. And it's killing more and more women.
Oh, I know that. We've been told that over and over again. How many times do they need to tell us that? I get it already about breast cancer. I give money to breast cancer. We go on these breast cancer walks, and still she's got to go in once a year so they can do this.
But the exam is not a sexual exam.
It's not a sexual exam, you're right, but it can turn into one in the wrong circumstance. And I am there to protect my wife. What good is a man unless he can protect his wife? She goes into a doctor's office while he sits in a corner with his face in shadows, and all you can see are his hands and his wristwatch, and the nurses come in, and as per his instructions, start to, you know...
I would suggest you deal with your potency problem, and you won't feel as bad about this.
Mister, I am telling you the mammogram and the breast exam is way, way, way over overdone. You don't need as many. And any husband can do it. Any woman can do it.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Vernon Dozier. He's got an opportunity to go to a Division II school, but his wife is going for a mammogram tomorrow instead of out on a sailing trip, and he feels that she'd rather be in the company of some nurses feeling her breasts than with him. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Foo Bar. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
I'm talking with Vernon Dozier. This is a man who has a wife who is going off for a mammogram tomorrow, right, Mr. Dozier?
That is my understanding. I've asked her not to.
You have asked her not to because you have an appointment with the president of a university where you might have a job, and you want her to go with you on this outing with this couple, right?
That is correct. The president of the university and his wife.
And you feel that breast cancer is overblown, mammograms are overblown, and women don't need to get them as often as they do, and that in point of fact, your wife's going off to get a mammogram because she likes the touch of these nurses.
Well, I don't know, but I do know that nurses got their hands all over them, and, you know, you don't have to make an appointment at all. It doesn't have to be this involved. I know my wife's breast. If she wants to go over and have these nurses feel her for an hour.
All right, let's say you're white. Why would you possibly think she prefers the nurse to you?
Because she's selfish. She's been complaining about the frequency of our sex.
All right, when was the last time?
My wife says it's been 4 months. I think that's bull, but I've been busy. And now there's a Division II coaching opportunity like this only comes along so often. She's getting on that boat, and she's not going over for her annual feel-up by this doctor and this coven of I mean, breast cancer is serious, but I'm suspicious of anyone who gets into a business where you feel women up. I don't understand that at all.
Well, it is a...
Any man can feel for lumps. You don't need a doctor. And I'm simply upset that my wife would rather go and get a breast exam instead of helping her husband get a new job.
Anyway, here is Joan. Joan, go ahead.
Well, all I can say is I've had many, many mammograms. A doctor has never been in the room. A doctor has never done it. A mammogram technician has done it. They're not very pleasant. They're rather painful because you're being squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. And it's not pleasant at all. Any exam that is done by a doctor is done not at the time of the mammogram. A mammogram is usually done in a separate facility. And the other thing that I want to say, and having had a scare one time, is perhaps his wife suspects something and is terrified and wants to have a mammo to rule it out or to find out how to take care of herself if, God forbid, there's something there. And even though she may very well want to support her husband, on his business ventures, maybe her health requires some attention as well, and he's not willing to consider any of this. If one woman can have a life saved by a mammogram, then it's insane to not to consider it.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am?
Yeah.
Have you heard these stories that some of these doctors sit in the room watching through a two-way mirror?
No, I have not heard that story.
That there are doctors doing what?
That there are some doctors who will watch through a two-way mirror while these nurses, you know, they got their...
I don't think that what the doctors do is your concern. I think your wife's health is your concern. And if there are some sicko doctors or some sicko nurses
Do you think I want my wife stripping for some doctor who's taking pictures or whatever kind of sick, twisted thing he's doing?
Wait.
Your concern is your wife's health and not anything that anybody else is doing.
Well,
if there's some sick doctor or some sick nurse doing something, and I have never heard of it, I don't know. But your wife's health.
Why do they have these nurses that got their hands all over you? Can you tell me, do they feel, is it just the breast?
Have you ever had a proctology exam?
Yes, I did.
Is it possible to do that without using your hands?
I've had several. I'm sorry?
Is it possible for a doctor to do that without using his hands?
Well, you can use other instruments, I suppose.
When your wife
if you imagine sex toys...
Well, no.
I think we're talking about your wife's health.
Right.
You're
talking about me taking it in the rear end from it.
No, she did not. She's asking about proctology exams.
I'm sorry, but...
It is the only thing that is necessary. Maybe you should go with your wife sometime to allay your concern.
My wife's
the
got
only
a great
thing
body.
That is necessary when a woman has a mammography is that her best breast be placed on the film properly to get the best exposure for the camera to take a picture.
All right, can I ask you a question? Because my wife is very large, and
then she has more pain than one that is not.
So how many people are... Because she's got a pair on her that...
Okay, you're talking to a lady.
I forgive me, but the thought of a bunch of dykes...
Dykes?
Well, who else would do that kind of work?
Maybe you want to get in touch with the American Cancer Society... Or go online and find out exactly what a mammogram entails.
Is this Dr.
It's not a very pleasant experience.
Yeah,
it's not a sexual experience. It has nothing to do with arousal.
All right.
It has to do with pain
but
and
she's
with
she's got
health.
A hell of a body. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right, your wife may have a great body, but the doctor she goes to, if the man is reputable and is ethical, he's not taking pictures, there's nurses that are doing this, etc. Correct, Joan? All right.
I go to a mammo center.
Look, Pam, do you know what coaching a college team means to me? That's all I'm trying to say.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joan.
Get rid of her, will you?
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Steve, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I'm telling you, this guy needs to take a break. He sounds totally unstable, and I would hate to think of him being a coach of young people. You can hear by his voice he's out of breath, and I would think if the president of the college heard this conversation, he would be not even considered for the coaching job. But as far
sir,
as the president goes, he doesn't have a clue. My wife and sisters tell me that it is a very painful experience. You take and place your breast on a table, and the camera comes down and mashes it dadgum near flat, and the women have robes on, and all they do is expose the breast that's being examined. They're not totally nude.
Well, what do you mean that's flat? What are you talking about? A camera comes down.
That's what they used to take the picture of, the breast. It takes it from the inside.
What
it's like an X-ray.
What does, the camera?
Yes, it's like an X-ray machine that has to come down.
Okay, then answer me this.
Flatten the breast out in order to be able to take the picture.
All right, then answer me this. What are they doing with the pictures? You see, every step of the way.
The pictures are like an X-ray that somebody would take of a broken leg.
All right, I want to say something, Mr. Henry, if I could.
Go ahead.
I have had dysfunctional problems.
Listen to this guy, please. This guy's about to have a heart attack.
No, listen to me. My wife's can show up on the internet, and this doctor is going to be out of business.
They don't take any pictures like that. You could not recognize your wife's breast. All it is like an X-ray, and it's something that you wouldn't recognize.
I got an opportunity to coach at a Division II school in Northern California. I can turn this program around. They've got a great young prospect at quarterback.
I don't think you'd have a chance of turning this program around.
And I'll tell you right now.
Anybody that's as unstable as you cannot deal with the things that come up in coaching day to day.
All the while you're coaching, you're going to be thinking about your wife and her cans and some guy giving her a mammogram.
I'm going to tell both of you guys, you should be so lucky to be married to what I got, okay?
Well, then you ought to be willing to protect it and do whatever it takes to get it done.
Okay, fine, but some doctor leering at her behind a two-way mirror...
That does not happen.
God. I'll kill somebody. I swear to God, I'll kill someone.
Look at Mr. Dozier.
This guy has got to be...
Yeah, Mr. Dozier, I want
to
ask you a question.
Radio audience.
Yeah, can I ask you a question, Mr. Dozier? Are you kidding?
Am I kidding, sir? I've got a wife who could be with me tomorrow at a life-changing job opportunity interview, and instead she wants to do this other thing. Am I kidding? It's my future. I don't kid about my future.
Well, if you
gentlemen think it's funny...
Well, if you ask her to just postpone it and do it at a later date...
Have you ever seen a pair of 44?
Okay, you know,
this guy has got to be a plant.
Yeah, seriously, man. What are you talking about?
There is no way this guy is a 2A college coach. There's no way.
I'm coaching high school right now. I've got a job interview at a Division II
school.
Well,
if you're coaching high school, I feel sorry for the kids that you're coaching.
Look, sir. 44 double D's can get a man a whole lot of salary raise.
What are you doing, man?
Just trying to catch my breath.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm thinking about my wife. Hey, can I get a pack of Marlboros? So anyway.
Yeah, okay. Vernon Dozier and his wife and her 44 double D's. And the doctor with the two-way mirror. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You're speaking about a computer virus.
This is Dr. Herbert Sewell, Martin. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
All right, I'm speaking of the So Big F virus.
Okay.
Which is affecting email programming as we speak.
Well, let me tell you, I'm in my car right now, and of course, there's a lot of ambient noise here. But let me tell you that, you know, I began hearing you,
yes.
And at first I thought I was taking you seriously until you told me about these anti-telemarketing and anti-spammers. Do you think that a force like that is created just by those people?
I believe.
Just to be perverse?
Not to be perverse, but to get... to get computer records and to get telephone records
Hey, listen.
I'm right here. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I hear you. Why didn't you say that this virus might shut down the Pentagon?
I can tell you right now, you're the one that's having a hard time hearing, and then that makes me wonder.
Listen, anybody that spends $83 on what you're talking, I thought it would be the biggest scam in the world. Sir, you are probably the telemarketer of the world.
No, sir, I am not. I'm a doctor. Let me tell you. Do you have a computer? Do you have a home computer?
I have a computer.
Right,
I have several computers.
You should be
Let me ask you this. What kind of code does this virus write in order to jump the computer network to get into your fiber optics and to strangle and suffocate people to death?
You think it's funny to see it? So you think an infant strangling is funny?
It is very funny.
A child strangling.
I thought you were pulling everybody's leg, but then I think you're serious.
So we had a blackout last week that affected some 90 million Americans.
Listen,
you're aware of that.
We also had World War II, but that wasn't caused by a virus.
We didn't have the multiplicity. We have a multiplicity of computers in World War II. Today we have access to computers like never before. Most of the grid is operated on a computer system.
Let me ask you a simple question.
I believe some of the deaths of infant children, the SIDS, might have been caused by the So Big F. I'm just trying to help people.
So you're telling me, just so my listeners know.
I'm telling you that if this was a virus that does what you say, the CIA, the FBI, and the federal government would be on in 5 seconds.
Really? And they were all over 9/11?
Got you on that one, didn't I? See, CIA and FBI.
I'll tell you what, I'll bet you the FBI will call you tomorrow morning.
You know, you laughing at me.
The CIA will be knocking at your door tomorrow.
All right, can I tell you something that you should take seriously?
Huh?
You laughing at me makes me angry.
Listen, I do feel... No, I'm not really laughing at
you're laughing at me and it makes me angry.
I'm laughing not at you, sir. I respect you as a person. Laughing at the concept.
Well, you laugh at the concept,
about.
You laugh at me.
Huh?
You laugh at the concept, you laugh at me, because I believe in it with all of my heart.
If you are so generous, why don't you give this wonderful software to everybody to save the world from damnation? Why don't you do that? Why don't you charge them $83?
Oh, so I'm supposed to get by on my... So I'm supposed to get by on my good looks, is that it? I'm not allowed to make a dollar?
You $83 to duplicate that disk. You can duplicate that disk by the millions and give it to everybody that owns a computer.
All right,
and you will go down in history as the greatest philanthropist in the world.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
That guy was a great caller. One of the greatest philanthropists in the world. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Was the U.S. Open last weekend? Yes, it was. So somebody must have won it. I'm just trying to find out who. Anyway, I was looking at the television, and I couldn't find out who won the U.S. Open. And that's just really thrilling news for everybody. Nobody cares about golf other than me. I don't even care about golf. I just saw Tiger Woods up there in some stupid-looking tournament. I said, wait a minute, wasn't he in the U.S. Open? And I thought it was over with, and maybe it isn't, and we don't know. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. I've got a news flash for you, and then we'll get to the major bit of news that I'd like to talk about. And the news flash is this. Fox is going to appeal. They're going to appeal a judge ruling that there will be no injunction against the sale of Al Franken's book. Now, Fox News wanted to stop the sale of Al Franken's book, Lies and the Lying Liars That Tell Them, A Fair and Balanced Look at the Right, because they said it was copyright infringement and all kinds of wild ravings in their lawsuit. Ravings and wild statements that one wouldn't think qualified attorneys would make, but apparently the guys that Fox hires, these guys ain't too qualified. They must be just strictly from hunger, these cats. The judge in the case, U.S. District Judge Denny Chin, in throwing out the case against Al Franken, said the following words. There are hard cases and there are easy cases. This is an easy case. This case is wholly without merit, both factually and legally. Parody is a form of artistic expression protected by the First Amendment. The keystone to parody is imitation. This is a very wise judge. The keystone to parody is imitation. Mr. Franken is clearly mocking Fox, not trying to ride on their coattails. But Fox, because they have no sense of humor and no respect for the Constitution of the United States, and because Forehead Boy is pushing him into it because he's got no sense of humor, and he thinks he's the second coming of freaking Father Coughlin, and he thinks that he's the second coming of William Jennings Bryan, he wants him to keep pushing this silly, stupid, Nazi-like lawsuit to keep a man from making fun of them. Hey, O'Reilly, I don't know anything about you being on TV, man. I guess you're okay. Your radio show blows from the time it gets out of bed in the morning to the time it goes to sleep at night, man. Whole flocks of ducks. Well, I guess I had to say something because that was a lot of dead air. All right, now on to, that was just the news flash, on to the big story. Britain won't let some Brazilians in, even though they want to come in for some Beatles festival. And guess what? That's too bad for the Brazilians. Now dig this. Britain said, well, yeah, you want to come into our country? Yeah, because we're going to be going to a Beatles festival. Okay, well, why don't you sing a Beatles song? In other words, they tested them on their Beatle information because they didn't buy it. And these dumbasses didn't know anything about it. Now, they say that, and of course the news is that this isn't the silly, and how dare they do that, and these are international travelers, and why shouldn't they be allowed to come into Britain? You know, here's the thing. Britain can keep anybody out they want to keep out. They can keep anybody out they want to keep out. Same way we can keep anybody out we want to keep out. Anybody mind if we keep a few of these nuts out? Here's the thing that Janice and I were talking about, and tell me this isn't true. This is the truth, and this will teach you a lot about what the world is really thinking these days. And people prove this every day with their actions.
Canada, the United States, Britain, France, all what we call the first world countries, especially the United States, though, especially the United States, are all considered to be the adults. We're like the adults. And because we're the adults, we have to act responsibly. All the other countries, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, toilet bowls like that, they're all the little children. Well, is that your view, Phil, or is that the way it is? That's the way it is, because they're allowed to act irresponsibly and act stupidly, and every excuse in the world is given to them for their behavior. When we do something that the rest of the world is upset by, they all act like children. They scream and they yell and they point their fingers at us. When a civilized nation like Britain says, no, we're not letting any Brazilians in because we just don't want you in here, they go, well, you can't do that. You're a civilized country. Yeah? Are we treated the same way down there in Brazil with all the freaking bananas in your hats? Am I down there with a thong bikini with a banana in my hat down there, man? You going to treat me fair? Well, we're Brazil. We're a toilet bowl. We're allowed to act like jackasses. Well, it's the same thing that a kid says. Well, I'm a little kid. I'm allowed to act like a dummy. But you're the adult. You're Britain. You're supposed to act responsibly. Do you understand? If countries want equal footing, if they sincerely want equal footing and they want equal treatment, start acting equal to us. You know, you're called a Nazi when you say the following words. America is morally superior to Iraq. When I had the conversation with Dumbass, my brother-in-law, back in England, and he just got indignant. He said, how dare you say America is morally? Of course we are. We're morally superior to Iraq, and therefore we have a responsibility, not just the right, but a responsibility to neutralize the evil elements in their country to protect our country. A responsibility. Why, that's against international law. Well, then international law is going to have to be rewritten because that country is nowhere near our equal in any way, shape, or form. When they act like animals and they act like complete and utter pigs, 9 times out of 10, they're given every excuse in the book on why they have the right to act like that because of all the big bad things mommy and daddy have done, meaning America, Britain, France, Canada, Italy, whatever the hell country you want to choose, Japan. See, we're the adults and we have to be in, you know, hold it in line and be really good and be really responsible. Otherwise, the little kid countries are going to get out of hand and act like little brats. And occasionally, what do the adults do? They got to take the little kid into the bathroom and beat them with a wire coat hanger. That's what we did with Iraq. We took them into the bathroom. You've been a bad little country. And we just wailed on that thing with a wooden coat hanger. And the kid's still being mean and cruel, so we're going to have to take him to a continuation, to reform school. Whatever it takes. And if we don't want you in the country, then you don't get to come in the country, and that's all there is to it, man. There's no argument, there's no discussion. These polls that show many Mexican citizens consider themselves having a right to enter the United States whenever they want shows exactly what I'm talking about. It precisely what I'm talking about. America is the big daddy, and every little child has a right to sit in their daddy's lap. Unlike other countries that Mexico may respect, and may say, okay, we'll respect your border. America, they're not going to respect our border because they have the right to go up to daddy and go up and, you know, take his money and drive his car. You can't keep us out. We're the children. You're going to stay there and you're going to act like a decent little kid. Or we're going to come down there with a nuclear weapon of some size, some import, just kind of sit in an airport. And then I'll be reading a paper. I'll get up. I'll wander out in my car and detonate it remote. That's my dream. That's
my dream. That's my nightmare, to crawl along the edge of a straight razor.
So good for you, England. And the next time some Brazilian, some Portuguese wagon Brazilian comes in there with their thong bikini and a banana in their ear, and they say, hey, we want to come in for the Beatle Festival, sing a Beatles song. I said to sing one. What would you do if I... Okay, come on in. Next. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm coming in for the Beatles thing. I'm coming.
Yeah, okay, Yokohama. Go ahead, lay it on me, man. Give me a Beatles song.
I am the Eggman. I am the Walt.
Oh, God, don't sing. Go ahead, you're in. What do you want? What are you looking at?
Well, I thought I'd come to Britain for the Beatles concert.
Go ahead, sing one, Frog.
I want to hold your hand.
Go on. You ain't coming in, man.
Yank.
What's your name?
Brian Wilson.
All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
They got a policy at a school. I don't know where the hell this is, but it's a school where they make the kids shut their big fat mouths when they're eating lunch. I love it. That's great. Good for you. Des Moines, Iowa, public school system. When the kids eat lunch, shut up. Now, you say, well, and a lot of parents love to weigh in. There's nothing worse than a parent weighing in on the education of their kid. Well, are you saying parents shouldn't be involved, Phil? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying, ultimately, you have to defer to the teacher or get your kid out of that school. Well, we can change the curriculum, you know, Phil. That is our right. It's a public school. Yeah, you can do anything you want. You're right. You can screw it up six ways to sunset. You can make the thing into the biggest nut house, into the biggest freaking rubber room the world has ever seen. But just for a moment, consider that the teacher is there and they really do care about the education of your kid. What they have found, have you ever seen this? You know, you learn a lot about people when you sit down and eat with them, don't you? Have you ever eaten with people and you can't get the food down because they're so disgusting at the table? Have you ever done that? Yeah. You ever eaten with a table full of people? Like the room you're in is a pigsty and the food, you know, whatever, maybe it's okay. But the people are slobs with the elbows on the table. See, I tell my kids, I'm old-fashioned. If you're going to eat in a restaurant, I don't care what we do at home. If you want to look like a pig, I guess so. But if we have guests, you're in a restaurant, get your elbows off the table. Get your elbows off the table. And when there's conversation between adults going on, you shut up and you listen to the adults. Like we were in a restaurant. Great Italian restaurant. We know the owner. And she's a little Italian lady, and she's over, and she's talking about her daughter and things, and she's talking to Maria and I, and the kids start a conversation among themselves about PlayStation 2 or some crap. I said, no. You pay attention. What are you talking about? I don't give a crap what your friend's parents let you do. I don't care. This is what's going to happen. And I know when you get older, you can talk about the Nazi stepfather you had. That'll be great. Go to an analyst. I'm sure you guys will just... You know, I don't lay a hand on the kids. I don't beat them. I don't do anything other than, and I have a lot of fun with them, but there's some old-fashioned stuff that I just adhere to. I just do. Get your elbows off the table. Listen to the adults. Don't interrupt in conversation. It's not going to kill them. They're only 15, 16, 13 years old. They're going to live. They'll survive. It's not going to be traumatic. They're not going to be swallowing the barrel of a freaking Smith & Wesson because I told them that they ought to wipe after they take a crap, you know?
You Nazi, you made me wipe.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, you might as well pull the trigger, Jim, because I'd do it all over again.
Bastard.
So what happens is, I believe, adults develop these habits as adults, as kids. And one of the most chaotic places in school, as we all remember when we went to school, is lunchtime. You're sitting at the bench. Some frizzy-haired girl sits down in front of you. I'll never forget. My second grade year, I sat down there at Holy Angel School in Arcadia, scared to death, just a little 7-year-old boy, skinny redheaded boy with freckles across his nose, in the goofy-looking parochial school white shirt and the crazy-ass collar, the corduroy pants and the Buster Brown wingtips, and I'm sitting there with the little bologna sandwich that my mother made me that I'd taken out of the wax paper, and plopping down in front of me was this wild, frizzy-haired little girl named Marcy, and says, "Hi!" And she, the milk's coming out of her nose, and she's, her mother made her peas or something, and one of, and so she's got one coming out of a nostril going, "Ah!" Then another kid sits down next to me, and this is what he did every lunchtime. This was the thing he did. Maybe he did it at home, but he'd sit down, and he'd take out his sandwich, look at it, sit on it, get up, so it would be flattened out, and then start again. All of these things scared me. They frightened me beyond words. I was just this little skinny kid. And the homes these people must have come out. You imagine his father coming home from dinner. "What's for dinner, honey?" "Hamburgers." "Okay." Sits down on it. So when the kids eat lunch, just eat your lunch, shut up, and then you'll go back to class and you'll learn. And you know what? They're finding that the kids are actually eating their lunch. Of course, now that I think about it, there's so many fat little pig kids out there, maybe they shouldn't be eating their lunch. So I think it's a bad idea. Yes, this is the consistent and world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.